And I'm going to be reading to you from Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 20. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught to regard your former way of life and to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its indecent desires, to be made new in attitude of your minds, and to put on a new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with any form of malice. Be kind and compassionate with one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave. Now, every so often, I get calls from people suggesting church signs for our sign. Actually, it's not that uncommon for people who drive by our sign to send us suggestions. We've even had people stand next to the sign if we use their suggestion and get their picture taken for Facebook. Now, about a year ago, I'm close to a year, a person emailed me a bunch of pictures from church signs that she'd pulled off the internet, you know, that we might use some of them on our sign. And one of them said, anger is just one letter short of being in danger. That's actually a really good saying. Anger is just one letter short of being in danger. Today's sermon is not an easy one. It is dealing with that word and that emotion called anger. It's not easy because we've all had to deal with anger from one end or the other. Anger can be dangerous, can it? Now, I don't know if you have a temper or not, but I'm convinced that most of us have experienced times when we've lost our tempers. Because anger is one of the hardest emotions to control. Psychologists tell us that anger develops in five stages: irritation, indignation, wrath, fury, and then rage. Now allow me just a few moments to explain each of these stages. First is irritation. Actually, that's not too bad. Someone irritates us and we're a little upset, but it's not really enough to take any kind of action. The second stage is indignation. Now we're really irritated by someone or something, and we fume a bit. Inwardly, we may even tell others how we feel about it. The third is wrath. Now we're boiling inside. And we think about what we can do to get even or get back at someone and begin to take action to do it. Fourth stage is fury. Fury is the burning point, and we are willing to hurt others or another person in a way that we can, where we're gone. And the fifth stage is rage. Rage is when we lose all control. We lash out without considering the results either to ourselves or to others. Now, we hear all kinds of stories out there of people who have lost the ability to control their anger in the world that you and I now live in, especially in the cell phone world. There was a recent news report that came across my computer this week that highlights how bad it is across places in our nation. There was construction blockage, you know, on the road, right? Narrowing the traffic down to one lane. We've all been there, and it required flaggers and signs, and it created long backups, right? Somebody got to go here, somebody got to go there. You know, it just happens sometimes, and you work with it, right? It always at the wrong time, though, right? Well, there was long lines. You've all been there. And there was this driver patiently waiting, with she had this dash cam on, and waiting her turn, when all of a sudden a car zoomed up on her past the emergency lane and forced their way right in front of her, with all the other people waiting in the back of the line. Well, the person in the car behind her, not her, I'm going to give her credit, the person in the car behind her went ballistic. They're stopped, they're waiting with the flagger, and got out of his truck with a hammer in hand. And he went up to that car that cut in, and he just beat the windows of that car of that person who had cut in. I mean, just beat it to pieces, the windows, the side windows, right? And as it goes today, it's all caught on a phone or a dash cam, and it was sent out all over the web. Now, I don't think you would ever do anything like that. But have you ever lost your temper? Have you ever done things that you wish you hadn't? Or have you said things that you wish you'd never said? We've all done that sometime in our life. Do you who are sitting here today realize how bombarded we are with today with pictures of rage? There's beatings, shootings, chase scenes where people are running each other down. There are all kinds of violence. It's just common on your TV screens or at the movies. Don't even get me started about computer games or screens. It's one place or the other. There's an old comic book hero and TV program being revived in our current days called The Incredible Hulk. How many of you remember The Incredible Hulk? Okay, I'm not the only geeky out here, right? Well, it features a mild-mannered guy who's okay until somebody gets him angry. And then he quickly goes through stages of irritation, indignation, wrath, fury, and finally rage. And when he reaches rage, his muscles began to bulge and he turns green from head to foot and he rips his shirt off. And then in the TV program, it always turns out for good. You know what I'm talking about? Now, what's that telling us? It's suggesting that rage is all right because it can have good results. We're constantly being bombarded with that kind of teaching. In fact, some of the most popular Law and Order television shows, programs, glorify that idea. It's all right for the good guys to be mean and violent too, right? Now, do not get me wrong. I like a good kung fu movie. Oh, no. I've seen even the cheesy ones. And I love James Bond, right? I've seen every Bond movie there is. I might know some of the words. But in this world around us, it's getting more and more crazy. You know that. We see it all around us. In the light of this, let's look at what the Apostle Paul tells us, tells those of his day and us sitting here today in Ephesians chapter 4, 26. He says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Now, I really don't know if you ever thought about this passage before, but the first read of it, it often causes many to have a double take and say, in your anger, do not sin. So evidently, there's an anger that is not sin. Okay? So, that it's acceptable and perfectly within the will of God. Now. It says, in your anger, do not sin. For example, God tells us to love our neighbor, even to love our enemies. But at the same time, he says us, do not love the world or anything of the world. You can find those words in the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. God is saying there's a love that is good and there's a love that is not good. In the same way, he also says that there's an anger that is acceptable and an anger that is not acceptable. So today we're going to start off by looking at some anger that God calls acceptable. In the Bible, there are at least two types of anger that are always presented as acceptable. It is acceptable to be angry when God's word or God's will is being violated. Allow me to give you an example from God's holy word. Recorded in the book of Exodus, Moses went to the top of Mount Sinai and God gave him the Ten Commandments on the tablets of stone. Moses came down from the mountain and discovered that the people of Israel had made a golden calf and were engaged in worshiping the golden calf. Do you remember how Moses reacted? He was angry. Because God's will and God's word were being violated. Now, how about King Solomon? Solomon had so much. Now, he had 700 wives and possessed more wealth than possibly any other man who ever lived, if you do the math. But do you remember what happened to King Solomon? He allowed some of his pagan wives to pull him away from God towards idolatry. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 9, says that the result of that, the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord. Before we get too far into this sermon, that is one way we can apply what we learn here today. The Bible warns us there is a time when God draws a line. And his judgment will come. In Romans chapter 2, verse 5, the Apostle Paul warns those who are violating the word and the will of God with these words. Because of your stubbornness and unrepenting hearts, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. Secondly, whenever the rights of God's people are taken from them, anger is justified. King Saul, the very first king of the nation of Israel, had been crowned king of Israel, and then he received word the enemy was besieging the city of Jabesh-Gilead, and they had bragged. The enemy had bragged that they were going to gouge out the right eye of every man in the city. In 1 Samuel, chapter 11, verse 6, it says, when Saul heard those words, the Spirit of God came on him in power, and he burned with anger. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 6 says, when Saul heard these words, the Spirit of God came on him, and he burned with anger. Now, I want to be careful here. I don't want to be branded as a warmonger, right? But when God's people are violated, that's time for us to get angry. And sometimes we forget that. When terrorists are attacking and killing people in the village, one village after another, it's time for God's people to get angry. When godless people are robbing God's people of their rights, God's people ought to get angry. There are times when we ought to say, enough. There are times when we need to stand up for what is right and express our anger. We are commanded to not, let me word this carefully. We are not commanded, no, we're not commanded, to sit passively by and let evil rule supreme. We must become angry at unjust things that are happening in our world. So the Bible shows us sitting here today that there are at least two types of anger that are justified. First is when God's word and his will are being violated. And secondly, when the rights of God's people are being taken from them. Now, today we're going to look at some unacceptable anger that often arises out of wrong motives. Anger is unacceptable when you become angry because you're jealous of someone else. For example, I'm going to take this example right from the Bible. It's found in the story of the prodigal son in the book of Luke. When we talk about the prodigal son who went into the far country, we often ignore the brother who stayed home. When the prodigal son came back, the elder brother would not participate in the celebration, and scripture says that he was angry. And he went to his father and said, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and have never disobeyed your orders, and yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But this son of yours who squandered your property and with prostitutes from home, you kill the fattened calf for him. Now that's Luke chapter 15, verses 19 through 30, if you want to read it later. He was jealous. Jealous of others is not an acceptable motive for anger. Now, secondly, anger is unacceptable when you become angry because things just don't go the way you want them to go. Has that ever happened to you? The prophet Jonah is a prime example of this. God told him to go to Nineveh and preach. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to see Nineveh. He didn't want to see him repent, basically. That's the truth. So he rebelled against God's command. Now, you know, Jonah finally ended up in Nineveh, and the people repented. It is actually the largest revival recorded on all of God's holy word. But Jonah didn't want them saved. And when they repented, it burned inside of Jonah. He could not understand it all. Oh, it's a terrible story to read. Can you grasp it? He became angry with God because God decided to forgive the people of Nineveh. He pouted and sat down, and he wasn't going to do anything more for God. A full-grown man sitting on the ground pouting. Now, I know you've never done anything like that. You've never acted that way. Now, the third reason for unacceptable anger is because we don't know all the facts. A man I know, and I used to work with when I was in retail, he lives in California, and he called and confessed to me that he blew it. I think he wanted to confess because I'm a minister. He knows I'm a minister, so he called up, I blew it. That's the way he started off the whole conversation. He'd made a reservation at a really nice restaurant for a party of eight. When he got to the restaurant, the maitre d' could not find the reservation. Now, if you got a maitre d', we're talking a nice restaurant, right? My friend told him that he'd made the call and made reservations at 7, and they'd been assured there'd be no problem, and they'd be served promptly. What's more, his parents from out of town were at this special occasion. But the maitre d' could find no reservation, and the restaurant was crowded, and my friend was told that he'd have to wait 30 to 45 minutes just to be seated. I'm going to say, what's unusual about that in Bismarck, right? But that's, you know, okay. So they waited, because it's too late to go anywhere else. When they were finally seated, the table was really near the kitchen, and the waiters were constantly rushing in and out, and it was a really noisy spot, and he was infuriated. Nothing had gone the way he had planned. In his mind, it was an absolute disaster. And when he got home, he was so angry, he decided he was going to call the restaurant manager and complain. So he got out this thing, this phone book. Now, some of you remember these. This is an old thing that people still use to look up at phone numbers. How many of you still use the phone book? I got two of them in my drawers, okay? And he looked up the number that he had circled, only to find that he hadn't called that restaurant at all. He had called another one by the same name. You know, it's a chain of restaurants in a major city, right? Part of the same restaurant chain, but on the other side of town. It wasn't their mistake. It was his. Sometimes we get angry because of our hectic schedules and we're so busy and we always seem to be rushing about. We're tired. And when something happens, we react angrily and often fail to think things through. With all of this fresh in our minds, how can we control our anger? We're going to look into God's holy word with these two warnings that the Apostle Paul gives us from our scripture text this morning. First, do not let the sun go down on your anger. And I believe that scripture means exactly what it says. Maybe we preachers suggest to young couples who come to get married that they need to put this scripture in a prominent place in their home. Don't let the sun go down on your anger is good advice, because if you go to bed and you're still angry inside, anger can fester and grow within us. And it can bring about what Paul warned us about next. Secondly is this, and this is so important. Don't give the devil an opportunity. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes in our life, he wants to make us like Jesus. So he begins to refine the rough edges and make us more like Jesus. But when the devil gets an opportunity, he does just the opposite. He tries to make us more like himself. So if we go to bed angry, and our anger is still present there, out comes Satan, and he has an opportunity to work on us. The Apostle Paul says, there's an anger that is acceptable, but sure, these two guidelines are always applied. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and make sure that you do not give the devil an opportunity. Now, may I offer three more suggestions today as we delve deeper into God's holy word. Thirdly, don't let minor irritations become fury and rage. Thomas Jefferson, one of our nation's founders, said, "If you're angry, count to 10 before you speak. If you're really angry, count to 100. Now, Mark Twain revised those words 75 years later and said, if you're really angry, count to 4. And if you're very angry, swear. That's what's in his book. That book right there, that's in his book. Now, I am not recommending what Mark Twain said, but they both, no matter what side of the spectrum you're from, tell you, do not blurt out what pops into your head out of anger. Does that make sense? Sidebar here. I used to be in retail and we'd have to go for shoplifting and all that. The best advice I ever got is count to three before you answer when you're on the witness stand talking about, a shoplifter or something. Don't just blurt out what's in your head, count to three. So you go one, two, three, then give an answer, right? It makes you look calmer. It really does. So, pause before you speak. But the idea is here, we need to make sure that we have thought things through before we allow someone to knock the chip off our shoulder. Many people are waiting for something to be angry about, and they will find it. There are plenty of things that make us angry if we're looking for them. But if we're walking around with the peace of Christ in us, and we're not looking for things to make us angry, but for things to increase our joy. Now, fourthly, and this is a big one. Hear me out. Be careful about the people with whom you associate. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24 warns us, do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one who is easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. That is Proverbs 22, 24. If you got a temper, it's a great one to have on your desk. If we spend time with people who are negative thinkers, we tend to become negative thinkers. If we spend time with people who are anger prone, the first thing we know, we're becoming angry too. It is just a fact. But it's also borne out in place after place of God's holy word. Fifthly, be careful also what you say. The Bible warns us not to use our tongue until we think about what we're going to speak. The American journalist Ambrosia Bierce once said, speak when you're angry, and you'll make the best speech you'll ever regret. An American journalist, think about that, had great advice. And it says, an angry tongue gets sharper with use. The more we use it, the sharper it can get, and it can cut into the lives of others. So think before you speak. The Bible says to us sitting here today, bridle your tongue. That's your next slide. Bridle your tongue. If you don't know what a bridle is, that's for a horse. It goes in the mouth, right? If it is not bridled, it may run wild. We need to commit our life so much to Jesus that he controls our temperament and that self-control becomes part of life rather than fits of rage and fury. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's Galatians 5:22. And it tells all who follow Jesus this. God will grant us that power if we commit ourselves to him. If we commit our tongue, our mind, and our emotions to God, he will help us have a healthy anger at the right things. not to have the kind of anger that caused trouble for others to stumble and fall. Now I'm going to start to close here this morning. And there may be people here who even angry with God, because God hasn't always done things we want him to do when we tell him to do something. Well, get over it, because he knows what's best for you. Maybe you're angry with others. Maybe you're angry with yourself. I pray that God will take that anger from you and change it for his glory. God has so much more to say in his word about anger, the word that's called anger, if we'll only look at it. And I'm going to just concentrate on Proverbs here for a while. Proverbs 19:11, the reason you have those down, you can look them up later, says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. Proverbs 14:7 says, a quick-tempered man does foolish things. Proverbs 15:18 says, a hot-tempered man stirs up distension. Proverbs 18:13 says, he who answers before listening, that is folly and his shame. And then 19:19 says, a hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. Now, I want you to notice all those Proverbs were men. They didn't say no women in there. Okay? King Solomon wrote Proverbs, and he was smart enough not to put a woman in there because he might have been one of his wives. So he wrote it about him. But it applies equally to men or women. Jesus was never angry with people. He was angry at their sins. So look beyond the person, and we must love the person and hate the sin. Does not mean we beat them up. We treat them with love and kindness. See, that's one of our blessings as a church. You come in the door, you're going to get hugs, you're going to get attention, you're going to get talked to, right? Matter of fact, you might get talked to too much. You can't just get in and out the building without somebody at least saying hi. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever been in a rush when you got to get out the door for an appointment, you had to get to work, right, and someone's got you grabbed? Well, that's because we're friendly. You know how many churches you don't get a hug or a smile or anybody saying hi? You can actually walk into some and walk out and nobody would even say hi to you. It's true. But we're part of a family. And we can forgive boo-boos. I had one person ask me where I got all my pictures. I said off the internet. You know, they come on Facebook and I save them and write pictures of the site. Well, do you give credit? If their name's on the bottom, I put it up on the slide. And I have to report on what's called CCLI. And they're saying, what's that? I got to pay a penny to use the picture. You know, it's part of our fee to use a picture. So you're not stealing them. Well, no, I'm not stealing them. They thought I was stealing people's pictures and putting them up there on the slides. They didn't have all the facts, right? Because we actually pay a penny. Every time you sing a song, every time they play a song up here, it costs us money. We pay for it, right? Because we're legal. We wouldn't steal it. If they have a name on it, they get credit and they get a penny. And if you get enough churches putting up your picture, you get lots of pennies, right? But they were all mad because they thought I was taking some pictures. I'm like, no, I just put them up there. See, far too often in this world, we don't have all the facts. And we're not going to have all the facts till we get to go home. The hardest thing to do in this world is to bite your tongue instead of use your tongue. You know, if you had a bridle in there, it kind of holds the horse's tongue where it can't do a lot of stuff, right? Kind of moves it. Have you ever bit your tongue when you're trying not to say something? Honestly, have you ever? You know, sometimes we get angry justifiably, but most of the time it's because Satan's trying to use us. So look up Proverbs, look up the Bible. It has more to say about controlling anger than actually anything else. So we need to close in prayer because there's some wonderful goodies out there y'all got to partake in, right? And you got to go say hi to everybody. And then y'all go to lunch and have fun sitting with each other and have a great day. But please check the bulletins because we're going to be gone part of next week and lots of other information. We're going to have some repairs in the church and you need to know about it. So everything's going on, but be nice to the construction guys, especially smile at them, make them nervous, okay? Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are so blessed to have so many people who love each other in this building. But the world around us is full of anger and toil and turmoil. It's just terrible, Father. Help us to walk with you and talk with you and control ourselves. Help us to realize what your holy word says about controlling our anger. And never let us embarrass our Savior. And all God's people said, Amen.